Greetings and welcome to Baron Crazes, Visions of Horror, Season Number 1, Episode 40, covering the week of December 17th through to December 23rd. We started off the show with a band called Ground Meat, and the track was Pathological Silence. They are found on Facebook and Bandcamp. As always, we'd like to say please support the bands, whether it's just liking them on social media is one way, but you know, you could all go out and purchase their music. The bands, their labels, and sometimes the PR companies have granted us the permission to play the music. We're always thankful for that. But we also recommend you, the fans out there, to go out and buy their music. Now, a little note on the programming of this show and our closeout show that's going to be airing, actually, tomorrow, in fact, since I'm recording these ones a little off schedule. It seems that in this past week, we've had a bit of an audio problem occurring with our mainframe, our main desktop, if you would. We're not too sure what the problem is. We're trying to determine that. Every time we think we've got to figure it out, another thing goes wrong. It feels like it's on a constant pause mode. It would play and stop every second. So that's really frustrating. You can't figure out when music is stopping, when it's starting. You can't do much, and that's greatly affecting a lot of the things we do, and hence why this show has been now recorded basically a whole week later than we had actually intended. I really wanted to have it out before the holiday had hit. However, when this problem started to occur, there was nothing I could do. With that being said, there is some music on the show, but it is going to be very hit and miss because I'm only putting in the music that I know has been basically, I don't say trimmed, but I know what it sounds like, that it fits where it's going, and there's no problems. So with that being said, please take that in the mind. There's not much I can do about it right now. The closest we can get somebody to really sit down and go through everything is the first week of the new year. So there's not much more I can possibly do to fix the problem. In addition of the problems that are occurring, we don't know if it's a speaker issue. We don't know if it's a keyboard issue. There's a button or something stuck somewhere, and it's just not functioning correctly. It's hitting or missing. We don't know if it's a monitor problem. We don't know. We've troubleshooted as much as we could, but we just can't fix it. So I wanted to be upfront with you about that. That sadly, the format that we've been using, where I play a piece of music to kind of associate with the movies, unfortunately has had to come to an end on a temporary basis. Now, I also want to state that until this is all resolved, some of our programming for the new year that we were hoping to get out in that first week is probably going to be knocked back about a week. We've worked the schedule out, and there's about four shows that we think we can roll out on a even basis, and then we'll have to taper back for the music ones and let them fall back upon themselves and eventually make those up. So if you're into our Sinister Death shows, our Shredded Metal Beast, Hard Rock Madness, Mysterious Void, Synth Pathways, and of course Screaming Horror, those shows are all music based, and they're all going to have to go into a wait and see mode until everything gets resolved. So with that being said, let's get started with Sunday, December 17th, saw the film Secret Santa. No, not a kind of Hallmark movie. Hell no, none of that here. This film came out in 2015, not rated, 1 hour and 18 minutes in length, not celebrating an anniversary. It is a horror comedy. The director is Mike McMurran, who was also the writer. Now, as for the stars, we're going to hopefully get the Google Translator to work. We're really hoping that does work. If it doesn't, you will hear me butcher, slash, slaughter, dismember names like you've never heard ever. I am very good at doing it. All right, we're going to try using the Google Translator here to help us out with the stars for this film. So here we go.
Annette Wozniak, Jeff Almond, Keegan Chambers.
All right, thank you very much, Google Translator. So it actually worked. See, that's the thing right now, folks. It works sometimes, and it works for a little ways, and then all of a sudden, it all falls apart. I mean, it's really strange. So anyway, the film was put out by Wild Eye Releasing, and the summary for this is Secret Santa is a feature-length film that tells the story of a group of eccentric college kids struggling to get through the hectic exam period. This horror comedy is a tribute to the B-movie slashers, but also takes conventions and turns them upside down. A liquor-filled party is planned, adding a Secret Santa exchange for fun. Little do the characters know, a killer is in town and has a special present for all the good and bad girls and boys. Dare to open your present? It might be your last. Okay, an interesting type of summary that was presented there. The Internet Movie Rating for this is a 4.8. And the release date was originally November 28th of 2015. Taglines, we only have one, so here we go. And again, just for those who aren't aware, I give the emphasis into these taglines. So if it ends in an exclamation point, I will get very loud with my voice. Or if there's something in caps, I will really get loud and shout. Or if there's a question mark, I will ask the question. So there you go. So the tagline is, these presents are going to be killer. All right. A little long, but you get the point. Trivia, all the gore special effects were done practically. So there you go for that little piece. And my opinion. Now, let's see here. You do get those 1980 effects. That's really big there. I mean, it does have the dismemberments. But as for the gore, it's hit or miss. We also have kind of the throwback to the 80s slashers. I mean, it's a little grimy, a little gritty. It tries to go for that grindhouse feel, but done in today's time, so that doesn't always work very well. The sadistic Santa, of course, you know, he's sending the gifts, and these gifts are basically designed to basically eventually kill them, kind of killing with, hey, here's your present, and then shortly after, you're going to die. The horror comedy, that's the part that I had some trouble with, the comedy. I don't know whether it's the style of the comedy. I didn't find it really that funny. It seems a lot of times the comedy is very forced. And those who know comedy know you can't have it forced. It has to come natural. If it doesn't feel natural, it's not going to come across natural on the set. I mean, a great way to figure out if your comedy is really working is if you can do a quick rehearsal and you go through your lines and you do your comedy line or whatever it is, and if the crew begins to chuckle or they're able to cover up their chuckles, you know you got it. But if they just stand there like, ho-hum, I don't give a damn look, then you don't have it. It's not there. There's no comedy gold, so to speak. There's none of that there. So that becomes a problem here for me. I never really felt the comedy was natural. It just didn't feel that way. Whether somebody says, oh, I'm a great, you know, comic, and I'd be this. You can be a comic, yeah, but your stand-up routine may not translate well to actual film. So, you know, it's a matter that works. And also, here's another little side note, and I know this happens. You got to do the scene over and over and over because something went wrong. The comedy that you're using may not work because everybody's heard of the joke 4, 5, or 6 times, and it's a little stale by now. So that always becomes a little problematic. So just be aware of that. We have the group of the college kids, right, being stalked by the mass killer. All that's the normal slasher thing. It's a little cheesy, yes, but it's amusing. And, you know, you may find it to be there. Some of the editing is a little herky-jerky on that aspect. But, again, if we're going for that 70s low-budget feel for the grindhouse and the 80s slasher, you can take it or leave it at that point. The film is found on Freevee, Plex, and Tubi, and we are going to slip in here a track from the band called Angry Snowmans, with the track being Oh Santa Claus. They are found through Facebook and Bandcamp, so enjoy that track.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to Monday, December 18th. The film I saw was Monster Party from 2018, unrated, 1 hour and 29 minutes in length, celebrating a fifth-year anniversary. This film is a horror thriller. The director was Chris Von Hoffman, who also was the writer. And as for the cast, we're going to be using the Google Translator again for some assistance.
Julian McMahon, Robin Tunney, Bill Engvall, Sam Strike, Virginia Gardner, Brandon Michael Hall.
All right, thank you, Google Translator, for that. All right, the company that put it out was RLJE Films. Summary, three small-time thieves specializing in home burglary pose as caterers for a fancy dinner party at a Malibu mansion of the wealthy Dawson family. But their plan for the perfect heist goes horribly wrong when they discover that the Dawsons and their guests are actually a support group for recovering sewer killers. And when one of the addicts can't resist the urge to attack, this simple cash grab becomes an all-out battle for survival where no one is safe. Film got a 5.5 out of 10. Release date for it was October 1st of 2018. No taglines are available. The location for it was Malibu, California. And the little trivia spot for you, body count, 18 bodies were for this film. 18 people were slaughtered, slashed, and just right up killed in this movie. This film kind of brings a little bit of a fresh air, if you would, something a little bit different to the usual horror flicks, and I kind of like that. Now, in the beginning of the first 30 minutes, you're going to feel a little unsure of yourself, a little, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, I'm not really liking this. But these are rich people, obviously from the mansion, from everything you see, and yet you know there's something off. You just know that something's just simmering under the surface that you're going to have to wait and see. With that being said, of course, it is a fun film. It's nicely filmed. It's got everything there. Very violent. Not going to lie to you. Very violent. Extremely sadistic kind of film here. It is definitely a monster party that goes on. Really revolves around these thieves and their wrong house to rob kind of theme. Lots of violence, like I said. It's going to keep your attention. I think that there's a little bit of camp thrown into there, a little campy. But if you can take that, I think you'll be fine. The film is found on Tubi. And also on this day, I saw another film called Secret Santa from 2018. All right, so welcome to Tuesday, December 19th. The film I saw was All Through the House from 2015. It is rated TVMA with being an hour and 28 minutes in length. Not celebrating an anniversary. The horror is the genre. The director and writer was Todd Nunes. As for the stars of the film, let's see if we can get the Google Translator to work one more time.
Ashley Mary Nunes, Jessica Cameron, Melinda Keering, Jennifer Wenger, Johanna Ray.
Thank you very much. The company that put it out was Gravitas Ventures. Summary, a deranged masked Santa Slayer comes to town for some Yuletide terror. He leaves behind a bloody trail of mutilated bodies as he hunts his way to the front steps of the town's most feared and notorious home. The rating for this film from the Internet Movie Database is 4.4. Release date was October 31st of 2015. There's only one tagline. It is, there is a creature stirring. It features the film The Butcher, the Baker, and the Nightmare Maker. Interesting kind of film from 1981. It references Psycho, the Slumber Party Massacre from 82, Friday the 13th Part 3, Alone in the Dark. Now, as for my opinion, it's kind of going to be short and sweet to the point. There's a ton of TNA going on in this film. I mean, there is just a ton. And it's basically, you know, sexually serrated kind of thing. It's you know, they say it's gory, but I would like to say it's viciously, sinisterly gory. Low budget. It's a splatterfest. There's some very good special effects. Now, I do want to make mention of this because I know how certain people feel about certain things. So I do want to give a little trigger here, warning. Little trigger warning. Be aware. The pets are not spared. That's right. The pets get it in the end, too. And let me just tell you, this killer likes to shear off a certain organ of the men. All right? Quite a bit. Quite often. But it doesn't contain the same shock value. You see it one time, you see it two times. Continuing it after that kind of, I don't know how to put it nicely, kind of melts down, if you would. It doesn't have the same impact. It's like watching a I don't know, a car accident on a video over and over and over and over. Eventually, it's just going to become mind-numbingly boring, and it's not going to have that same impact. So I can see that happening here quite a bit. The killer seems to be, you know, targeting, young men and women in the small town. Doesn't really seem to, you know, favor one to the other. So be aware of that. It's what you look. It is exactly what you think. It's a gore splatter movie with the lowest common denominator possible. That's really what that movie is all about. You can find it on Plex, Freevee, and Prime. And also on this day, I did see a film called, which I thought was much better, called P2 from 2007. All right, so welcome to Wednesday, December 20th. The film was Christmas Evil from 1980. It's also known as You Better Watch Out, rated R, 1 hour and 40 minutes in length. It is not celebrating an anniversary. The genres for it are horror and thriller. The director was Lewis Jackson, who was also the writer. Now we're going to use the Google Translator one more time for the rundown of the cast.
Brandon Maggart, Jeffrey DeMunn, Diane Hull, Andy Fenwick, Brian Neville.
Thank you. The company that put it out was called Canon Film Distributors. Summary, a toy factory worker mentally scarred as a child upon learning Santa Claus is not real. Suffers a nervous breakdown after being belittled at work and embarks on a Yuletide killing spree. The rating for this was a 5.5. The release date was originally November 1980. Now, we do have quite a few taglines to go through, about seven of them. One, the third one, is very long. Remember the rule. Taglines should be between what? 3 to 5 words. You could steal a letter there, making it 6. You could also have 9 letters if you have them in 3-word segments and they kind of drift down your movie poster. If it doesn't do that, then it's not going to work out right. So here we go. Excuse me. Tagline number 1, you better take care. Santa is coming to town. Number 2, who's been naughty? Number 3, first came Halloween, then Friday the 13th, and now this Christmas, you better believe in Santa or he'll slay you. And number 4, I gotta remember, Christmas Evil, right? That's the title. The night he dropped in. All right. Number 5. This Christmas, you better believe in Santa or he'll slay you. And number, I guess it's number 6. He'll slay you. And this one, slay, is actually spelled as in the type of sleigh that you have being pulled by horses. That type of sleigh. And lastly, you better watch out. You better not cry or you may die. It's interesting. See, that plays in a 3-word kind of thing, right? That could have worked down a movie poster, so be aware of that. All right, moving right along, a little bit of trivia for you all. The writer-director, Lewis Jackson, spent several years collecting all the Yuletide props seen in Harry's house. And if you've seen this movie, Harry has got a lot of Yuletide props. I mean, it must have been an adventure. Also, Lewis Jackson came up with this concept for the film after, believe it or not, smoking marijuana one night during the 1970s and seeing a vision of Santa Claus holding a knife. Yeah. Okay. He was just being inspired, if you would. There were 3 Santa suits used in his film. 2 of them were stolen early in the production of the movie. Wow. Okay. The film's producer, Edward R. Pressman, died on January 17th of 2023, while co-star Mark Margolis died on August 3rd of 2023. So just kind of throwing those out there. Their names are probably found in our remembrance of the dead section. So you can always go and check that out on your own. Now, as for little references, there are two films referenced in this movie. The first is Frankenstein from 1931, and the next is Psycho from 1960. And the film is referenced in Going to Pieces, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher Film from 2006. Now, how do I put this nicely? This movie has now garnished a kind of a cult seasonal picture. I mean, that's what makes it interesting. It's offbeat. Definitely, definitely offbeat. More of focusing on a pathetic figure named Harry, whose mind has been warped ever since something bad, if you would, as a child he saw, that he ought not have seen. Growing up, he's obsessed with Christmas. Decorations throughout his house all have the Christmas theme. Don't really have a problem with this in the sense that I have an obsession with Halloween and horror, and it's throughout my house. So, can't really lay all that there. He's dismayed by the attitudes displayed by his co-workers at his place of employment, a toy factory. Surprise, surprise. And, you know, he's going to go on this, I don't know how to explain it. He's going to have this list, if you would, of naughty and nice activities of children in his neighborhood. He's been watching them all, you know, seeing who's been good and who's been bad. Kind of weird, again. Then he learns that his company's got this really great plan about donating toys to a local hospital. Sounds all wonderful, right? Don't worry. In a horror film, we give the niceties with all the evil right after it. But the same company expects all the employees to make all the financial donating. Excuse me. So get that. The company's going to give the toys, which is probably at a cheaper rate, and they want all the money to come from the employees. Isn't that wonderful? And therefore, our dear Santa decides to go out and spread his own brand of Christmas cheer. I mean, it is a thing that goes on today, if you would, being overworked and underappreciated, still occurs today. So, you know, he finally snaps. The movie is definitely odd. Let's be honest. There's no question about it. It's a very unique seasonal horror gem. You either see it once and you enjoy it, or you see it once and hate it. There's really no other middle ground for it. Quite frankly, it's a very bad, very bad B-movie. I don't even put it in the category. A lot of people go, it's B-movie. It's not a really B-movie. It's actually quite darker than that, so you have to be aware of that. The film can be found on Plex and Tubi. Also on this day, I did see the film Christmas, Bloody Christmas from 2022. Pardon me there for that little error. All right, so welcome to Thursday, December 21st with the film Santa's Sleigh from 2005, rated R, 1 hour and 18 minutes in length. It is not celebrating an anniversary. The genres for are horror, comedy, and fantasy. The director was David Steinman, who is also the writer. And we're going to get the Google Translator to give us a little help on the cast.
Rebecca Gayhart, Fran Drescher, Bill Goldberg, Douglas Smith, Emily DeRavin, Robert Culp, Dave Thomas, James Caan.
All right, there you guys go. The company that put it out was Lionsgate. Summary, Santa Claus is actually a demon who lost a bet with an angel. So he becomes the giver of toys and happiness. But when the bet is off, basically 1,000 years later, if you would, he returns to his evil ways. All right, so the rating for this is about 5.3. The release date was October 25th of 2005. Two taglines. He's making a list. Pray you're not on it. And the second one is, spreading holiday fear this Christmas. The film was located in Alberta, Canada. Little trivia for you all. The old book that explains the origin of Santa Claus is written in Icelandic. Some believe that parts of the Santa mythos take place from Norse legends. Alrighty, that's nice. Now, my opinion about this film. The film, one, is never meant to be taken seriously. I mean, quite frankly, not a lot of films out there are meant to be taken seriously, but it is enjoyable. okay? Getting over what you have to. I mean, look, Goldberg is Santa. And he's a demon. And again, he's back after 1,000 years to wreck unholy hell. And he's pretty upset, and let's face it. I mean, that's, you know, been forced to do something that was against his nature for 1,000 years. And now he gets to make up for all that lost time. Imagine innocent families everywhere. He gets to slaughter them all because, well, why not? It's something fun for him to do. There's not much of a plot here, okay? And the acting is, you know, it is kind of mismatched. I mean, you know which actors brought it, and then you know which actors probably didn't bring it. There are some, though, convincing special effects, and that may be your saving grace. It does strive to be in the category of a B-movie, not by much. It's more aimed for the humor, because there is no scare. There's nothing there, right? This isn't. It's a bit off the mark of the holiday type of horror you got out there. Like I said, the special effects were good. I mean, laughable, don't get me wrong. The plot is slip-sliding all over the place, like a car going down the road on black ice. And the acting, it basically feels like somebody had one too many cups of eggnog. It's all over the place. Now, the laughs that I think it gets when we watched it was really kind of unintentional. I mean, I think people were laughing at the wrong times that it was intended to have. I just looked at it as, well, it was a movie and I watched it. So be aware of that. Now, this film is found on Tubi, so be aware of that. Now, again, I should mention this. As the season rolls down here, these films that are right now on Tubi are not going to be there much longer. They're going to be going out, just like a lot of the Halloween movies go out at the end of October, first week of November. A lot of these films are also going to be leaving, so be aware of that. All right, so welcome to Friday, December 22nd, with the film Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1978. Rated PG, 1 hour and 55 minutes in length. Celebrating a 45-year anniversary, the genres are horror and sci-fi. The director is Philip Kaufman. The writers were W.D. Richter, and Jack Finney. The film stars Donald Sutherland, Brooke Adams, Leonard Nimoy, Jeff Goldblum, Veronica Cartwright, Kevin McCarthy, and Robert Duvall. The company that put it out was United Artists. The summary, when a strange seeds drift to Earth from space, mysterious pods begin to grow and invade the San Francisco area, replicating the city's residents one body at a time. The rating for this film is a 7.4 out of 10. I'm going to say, you know, between a 7.5 and an 8, because I thought it was a very good film. Of course, I am going to make mention here, it is a remake, and I do enjoy this remake also. Release date for it was December 21st of 1978. We have quite a few taglines, so here we go. Get some sleep. Number two, watch out! They get you while you're sleeping! All right. Number three, sleep. Sleep. Be born again into a world without fear and hate. Next. On December 20th, try to stay awake. And we have, pray for the human race. And the next one, you'll never close your eyes again. And then, from deep space. And then lastly, the seed is planted. The terror grows. All right. Again, the location for this film was in San Francisco, California. If you're from that area and you want to go visit, there's a whole long list of locations you guys can definitely check out. And a little trivia for you. Harry, the homeless banjo guy, playing banjo, was performed by the Grateful Dead's frontman, Jerry Garcia. The song being played and sung is the traditional Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, which was a regular tune played by the Dead in their live performances and appears on several live albums. Now, the film does reference a couple movies. References to Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 56, The Separate Wives from 75, Shivers, The Tenant from 76, and Rabbit from 1977. It is referenced in The Hidden, Sea People, The Puppet Masters from 94, 100 Years of Horror, The Faculty, 28 Days Later, Shaun of the Dead, Messengers, and The Unborn from 2009. It was featured in Terror in the Isles from 1984, remade as The Body Snatchers in 93. It's a remake of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 66. It's a version of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 56. Of course, then you also have other types of Invasion of the Body Snatchers movies being also The Body Snatchers from 93, and of course, The Invasion from 2007, which was a very poor rendition, if you would, concept. It's really strange. It's not that good, so I will avoid that one if you can. All right, my opinion. I don't know how to put this nicely. I like this movie. In fact, I really found it to be a very, very good movie. There's great acting. The photography is wonderful. The story is obviously so much richer. I mean, yes, it is in color, opposed to the first one being in black and white. It's scary. It really is. There's an incredible development of fear that is happening here, this biological invasion, an old-fashioned chase in high sequences, a tense movie. It's convincing. It's realistic in some ways. The acting, again, really sells it. I mean, Donald Sutherland is the health department official, and Brooke Adams is a lab analyst in the same department. And yes, I mean, look, everything we see is obviously not believable at all. And I don't know why I got to put that in there, but believe it or not, I read a lot of reviews and people had come up with some really bizarre things, like this is already happening, this is already coming out. So there's a lot of conspiracy things wrapped around this movie. Anyway, it's very strange. You kind of go down in rabbit holes about this stuff. It gets really, really strange. You know, I found the film to really have a great suspense. And I'm not going to tell you about the ending. I can't, because, wow, it's really all the way. I mean, just all the way off hinge. I can see that ending right now. I can hear it. It's incredible, which makes it really a scary type of film, especially with the sound effects in the film. The sound effects, I think, were just as great as anything else. I think they were really wonderful. And then there's this weird scene that occurs with the dog and the banjo player. I mean, it is freaky as hell. What the hell happened there? But you, if you got a chance, you should definitely see this movie. Of course, I have this film on DVD, so I can watch it anytime I want. And I really advise you guys to do the same. If you have the chance, please, please take the time to watch this movie. It is a great, great movie to do. All right, so welcome to the end of the week, Saturday, December 23rd. The film is Hellbound Hellraiser 2 from 1988. Rated R, 1 hour and 38 minutes in length, celebrating a 35th anniversary. Hold on here. Got to just note something. We have it being the genres of horror and thriller. The director was Tony Randall. Writers Peter Atkins and Clive Barker. Going to use a Google Translator one more time. Hopefully it works with no problems to tell us the entire list of the stars.
Doug Bradley, Claire Higgins, Ashley Lawrence, Kenneth Cranham, Imogen Borman, Sean Chapman.
All right, got through it. All right, so the company put it out was New World Pictures. And as for a summary, we have Christy is brought to an institution after the horrible events of Hellraiser, where the occult-obsessed head doctor resurrects Julia and unleashes the Cenobites and their demonic underworld. The film got a rating of 6.4 out of 10. The original release date was December 23rd of 1988. Some taglines for you guys to enjoy. There's about five of them, so here we go. They will tear your soul apart again. Then we have The Horror Continues. Number three, Clive Barker takes us on a descent into, and then fill in the movie title. Next up is, It Will Tear Your Soul Apart Again. And lastly, Time to Play. All right, a little trivia for you all. The main doctor's fascination with the occult is apparent during scenes featuring a room in his house, dubbed by the cast and crew as the Obsession Room. If you remember the room for the Dear Doctor there, it is all about these devices, hell, everything else. It's an incredible room that I just look at it going, now this is a very modernistic type of room, very much into a minimalist type of decorum here, but definitely on the freakazoid kind of way of doing things. Makes you wonder about these psychiatrists and things out there. What does their home life look like when they're judging others for their, what you like is wrong and what I like is okay? That kind of self-indulgent judgment. I always hated that. Anyway, another little trivia note. Make sure that at the very least, the audience has understood that the Cenobites were once human, and the only vice is becoming demons. The element was meant to underline the story of Frank and Julia and their corruption by lust. This was something that they really wanted to make sure to kind of send home while they were coming up with this entire mythos, if you would. But here's the thing. Originally, Julia was going to be the focus point for part two, as more as the queen of hell, if you would, that she's gotten this reign, if you would. However, by the end of part one, Pinhead has somehow became the more popular with the audiences, and hence he became the center for the sequels, which I thought was kind of interesting. So they were had already figured out that Julia was going to be the queen of hell. But when that got turned around to Pinhead, who was on screen not that long, getting all the attention, that was it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You got Julia, who's, excuse the term, she's a whore, really, in the first one. And then you got Pinhead. I mean, you see this guy for the first time on screen. He's wearing this leather, I don't know, cloak thing of his. It's a robe, I guess. I don't want to insult Pinhead by any means. Hey, your choices, man. I don't know how it is. And then he's got all these nails in his head, all these pins, if you would. I mean, let's face it, you saw a guy like this, you're freaked out. You're like, okay, this is going to be interesting. I mean, I think you also had, I don't know if Chatterer was in the first one, but you definitely had Butterball. That's what he was always nicknamed. And then the other one had the female Cenobite. That was all she was known as. But it was interesting enough for her. All right, so this film does reference The Bride of Frankenstein from 35 and also the film From Beyond in 86. It is referenced in Basic Instinct in 92, House on Haunted Hill in 1999, Final Destination 2 in 2003, Horror Business in 2007, The Boogeyman 2 in 2007, and The Void in 2016. It was edited with the movie Hellraiser was edited into this film. It follows Hellraiser from 87. And then it was followed by, and I actually wanted to kind of note this down because I thought it was really interesting, Hellraiser 3. Then we had Hellraiser Bloodline. Then Hellraiser Inferno. And Hellraiser Hellseeker. And then Hellraiser Deader. Then Hellraiser Hell World. Then you had Hellraiser Revelations, and then Hellraiser Judgment from 2018. Wow, and no offense, but it went slowly downhill after, I think, part three. It just, to me, started to go down and down and down and down, and I forget which one of these was set in space. Yes, there was one that was set in space. I mean, you have to feel sad. You know, Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger never went to space. Sad, they never got to space. But, you know, Jason got there, the Leprechaun got there, and Pinhead got there. So, I guess it kind of balanced it all out. I mean, yes, Leatherface doesn't make it to space either, but, you know, sometimes bringing a chainsaw on board is kind of hard to get through security to get on your space stations. But, you know, hey, you know, it could have happened, right? Thank God it didn't. All right, so let's note here, the special effects, they're pretty highly dated for this movie. There are some things that I do find that are very good. I mean, let's face it, you know, Julia walking around on the white carpets with the white wall backgrounds in that really bright, rich red color, noting that, you know, she's skinless. She has no skin. Every time I ever see any movie, anything that has white walls, white floor, anything else, that's what I think of. I think of Julia walking through the scene with, you know, all this basically blood suit on, if you would. I always think about that. And really, what I found is in this movie, people don't really kind of get this, but that kind of dates back to a film called Tingwer from 1959, where William Castle is, the film's in black and white, but for this one scene, they raise up an arm out of a bathtub that's dripping in blood. So you got this bright red blood arm and this kind of faded background, and it's the contrast is so dramatic, which is the same thing that's happening here. You know, we get an introduction of some silliness that's definitely in here. You can't overlook it, right? The doctor becoming a Cenobite in his own strange form is a bit more bizarre. The bizarre creatures are there too, kind of like opening the door for future things. It does have its problems. You know, I find it to be shot well, okay? Don't get me wrong. I think the hellish imagery is a bit disturbingly vividly done. I find that, I actually find it maybe a livid, vivid kind of display they were trying to present. The music score is really good. It's very haunting, if you would. I like that a lot. But again, those effects, you know, they're troublesome at times. They just don't feel great to me. The bloody mattress, okay, that's interesting. That's really neat, especially how the Cenobites come back. You know, I thought it was neat. I also found how Julia comes back is really neat also. There's a lot of, like I said, there was a lot of great parts, and then there were some parts that didn't work. It was like trying to balance out two worlds almost. But I think it's a good sequel, I do. I think if you're a fan of the first one, you're going to enjoy the second one. Maybe not as much, but I think it's still got some good elements there. It's the way the first one ends, I think, a little bit, that gets a little confusing for part two. But it made so much money and got such clamor and attention, and the fans wanted more, that I think Clive Barker was basically forced into a position where they had to come up with something else, because it was a lot more to tell about this mythos of this character. So with that being said, I mean, look, obviously you guys know I have this film on Blu-ray. I also have it on the DVD, so it was easy enough to get for me to watch. And with that being said, I do apologize again for not playing really much music on the show, but there are audio problems exist. We were able to not have too many with them with the Google Translator working, so we're happy with that. And with that being said, we're actually going to play two tracks here. The first one that we're going to play comes from an artist known as Paschan, with the track known as Hellraiser Theme. It's like a dark synthwave style done for it. And then after that, our closeout for the band Envenomed, known with the track Horror Movie from the Skyhook band there. So it's like a cover track of theirs. So we put down the Bandcamp links for everybody. We've got Facebook and Instagram, so you guys can follow everything. And again, we just want to thank you for tuning in to Baron Crazy's Visions of Horror, Season number 1, Episode 40. Again, we do apologize due to some of the audio issues, so we hope we will have it fixed. We will have it fixed, excuse me, in 2024. So enjoy this show, and thanks.
don't care who's gonna lose or win. Listen to this and I'll tell you something.